Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Inspirista, Mindset Mojo Mentor, and Sacred Visibility Catalyst Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine, the premier inspirational magazine for women since 2006. You know, I love bringing you intimate conversation with today's leading visionary women in the fields of personal and spiritual development, success and mindset, self-empowerment, and so much more. And if you would like to dive a little deeper into topics like that, I invite you to join inspiredlivinguniversity.com, a sacred curriculum and community for women, where our expert faculty brings you the masterclasses, weekly live coaching calls, and so much more to support you in mastering the art of living. And for a limited time, we're offering a three-pay what you can options. And I look forward to seeing you on campus, my beautiful friend. So today I'm really thrilled to be with Joe Jason, a gifted self-taught intuitive painter and award-winning author. And I have to say, personally, I am so thrilled that Joe will be an exhibitor and speaker at the three-day Inspired Life Transformational Women's event that I'll be holding in Massachusetts next April. And born in the UK, Joe is this, as I shared, a self-taught intuitive painter. She then completed her much-loved and gorgeous, I have to say, Goddess Chakra series, and followed by her internationally acclaimed Sacred Feminine series, which is featured in her award-winning book, Self-Love Through the Sacred Feminine, and her best-selling Sacred Feminine Oracle deck. You know, Jo has worked as a professional intuitive artist, teacher for 12 years, and is dedicated to healing, inspiring, and empowering women all over the world. Welcome, Jo.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, you know, I loved your message, love your work, your artwork just is like, my God, you can tell it comes right from your soul. So why don't we start there? Just how did you begin this work, this sacred work you were doing that is touching women's lives?
I was actually a muralist and a photo finisher for a long while, and my marriage was actually starting to break down, and I was working actually with chakra healing. I had kind of discovered it and I wanted to work with it, and I had a lot of images and information that was coming to me about it, and I ended up started painting the series that I didn't really know what was going to happen with it. I didn't even know that it was going to be a series, to be honest. And that kind of it kind of just propelled me forward on a path that I hadn't even thought about. So it really started with that, and then I started teaching about chakra healing with my paintings and the images, and things kind of just unfolded really quickly and very naturally. So I kind of figured that I was on the right path. And then I started the Sacred Feminine series, which was, you know, a calling as well, information that was coming to me, images and energies that were coming to me to be represented and the message to be, you know, told. It really was, you know, very organic. It unfolded very naturally. Wasn't an easy journey, but basically that's how it started.
So do you feel that you were always intuitive, or did you start just taking the steps and then you learned to trust your intuition?
No, I think I was always intuitive. I remember being very intuitive as a child and feeling very odd. And I think I probably was a little bit of an odd child. And having knowings about things and understanding things that I probably shouldn't have understood at that age. And so no, I think it's always been there. But I think timing, is really important. Everybody's intuitive. Some people have it a little bit more than others, but I think that if you're going to use that skill and that gift in your work, usually timing is really important when you're ready at a certain stage of your life for it to kind of blossom and open up even more. So I think that's what happened with me.
Well, what I love is that, I've talked to a lot of people and I'm intuitive, but I think there's so many of us, we are gifted with intuition. It's part of who we are. But I think there's a big trust factor, and a lot of people don't trust what they're receiving. I mean, here you are with this other career, and you just follow this knowing of, I'm going to paint the chakra series. Again, you didn't know what would be a series, but you just kept taking the steps and allowing your, I don't know, your inner wisdom to lead the way. And that's what I want to get through on this call is, in this conversation, is learning to trust those nudges that we receive, because look at the path that's unfolded for you.
The certainly as an artist anyway, I think the urge, like the urges that come, I think most artists of any kind would know what I mean when we're talking about urges, were so loud that I couldn't not do it really. But that's not to say I didn't have wobbly moments in between wondering why I was doing it and wondering how it was going to pay the bills, because I had plenty of those. But yes, the urges were really strong. I think when these callings, they come from your own being. They're not coming from outside of yourself. They're coming from your own soul, who's really driving the ship. And some people are more tuned into their own souls, whispers than other people. And I think, that's basically what it is.
In your work, in your messaging and who you are, you tie in self-love, and your book is actually self-love through the sacred feminine, right? And what led you to start working with that topic? Was it your own personal journey, or was it a calling?
No, it was both. It was my own personal journey, and I didn't really realize I was going to write a book about self-love until I had. There are 13 sacred feminine energies that I channeled and painted, and it wasn't until probably about the 10th. Ninth, tenth, around about that time, that I kind of figured, I realized what I had been doing. I didn't really know what I was doing, to be honest. I just knew that there would be 13 that I would paint, and I was just, very dutifully just going through each one. It took me 7 years. It was a very long time. I'm a very slow painter, but it wasn't until towards the end that I realized I had gathered all this information from all of these energies, and archetypes, that really, when I laid it all out, was a path to self-love. That's what it was, and it was mine. I had gone through it with them as I represented them. So that was organic too. That wasn't kind of revealed to me in that way until towards the end, and then I realized, I get it. I get why I'm doing this now, and what it's meant to be for. So
I love the journey. You just kept following the breadcrumbs. I call it spiritual breadcrumbs. I tell my clients, sometimes you don't need to know the full path, A through Z. You just have to keep taking the next steps of what you're being led to, and the next step will reveal itself. And that sounds like it's how it unfolded for you. You didn't know that each painting was going to become a book. You just kept following.
No, I didn't. I didn't. I had a mind that I would like to make an oracle deck, but I kind of didn't think that I would be able to because I only had 13. And I didn't really know how I would do that. But no, it was all about, you see, I was shown three at a time. So I kind of knew when I was painting one of them, I kind of knew what the other one was going to be or the other two were going to be. And so what drove me was just to find the time to then do the next one and obviously to sell the paintings and to get and to make the prints and get that image out to as many people as possible, which is, you know, what I really did in those 7 years. I traveled every weekend doing shows and you know, creating a following for myself, but getting the images out. So, you know, by the time I had reached the 13th, you know, a lot of people knew my work by then, which was really perfect. You know, it would have been hard to get this out in the way that it was meant if I didn't have a following beforehand. So yeah, it was very clever the way it all worked out, but I really didn't, I didn't plan it that way. I'm not very strategic like that.
Well, what I love is it's like you're allowing the divine to lead the way, you know?
Right.
And look how many lives your artwork has touched, you know, since the beginning, your book, just the work you're doing. Now, you know, I see that you're doing the online classes mm-hmm. and some of the topics are so powerful. And I can see that the women just love your offerings. Mm. So talk about how you got into teaching.
Well, it started way, way back when I was doing the chakra series. I think I did a local holistic show and I showed my work and it was so well received. And somebody asked me to speak, I think, about that series. And I did. And I think I was kind of shocked at how much information I knew that I didn't go to any classes. Nobody was teaching me anything. I just seemed to know a lot of stuff intuitively. And then I started to offer workshops in my local area and community. And then that really just snowballed. I just started to do workshops all over and I started to, you know, lecture and talk about my work, various different venues. And then I actually started the online classes years ago, but I've kind of revved it up a little bit during this time of COVID for sure. But yeah, it started from that. And I look back at that now and I think, you know, I was kind of brazen and brave to even think that I could teach a class about stuff that I'd actually, you know, in theory didn't really know anything about, but I actually did. So yeah, that's basically what happened. So now I'm teaching about you know, the wisdom in the book and that I do know a lot about because I walked that path. So that's how it evolved. Yeah. It's interesting.
I just love your journey. Yeah. We're gonna take a break for a moment and we'll be back with Joe Jason, and I invite everyone to go to joejason.com to learn more about everything we're talking about, her Goddess Chakra series, her book, Self-Love Through the Sacred Feminine. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Inspired Conversations.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Are you being called to step into your truth and embrace your divinity? Are you ready to align your heart and soul, live an authentic life, and become a divine magnet for love and abundance? It's time to listen to your inner wisdom and clear the blocks holding you back from your best life. Leading intuitive prosperity coach, Akashic Records practitioner, and evidential medium Jamie Hearn of liveyourdivinity.com empowers and supports spiritual women like you to align your inner and outer worlds, embrace your soul's truth, and live your divinity. Through her intuitive gifts, grounded wisdom, and empowered coaching, Jamie guides women back into sacred alignment with their truth. Visit liveyourdivinity.com to learn more about Jamie's empowering programs and to schedule an Akashic record reading.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hi everyone, this is Shea Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on iOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shea Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is Joe Jason. And we're talking about, you know, her personal journey to following her intuition, tapping into the divine feminine, and following the spiritual breadcrumbs that led her to the extraordinary work she's doing in the world today. And Joe, one of the things that I just love about your imagery is like, it just has such a depth to it and to like a raw power. That's the best. I was trying to think of a word to describe it, especially the sacred feminine and of course the goddess chakra series. Right. So what led you, like, was it just a soul calling to stay with the, like, work with the sacred feminine, the chakras, the sacred masculine, etc., which are some of the names of your paintings? How did you know that was your message, that was your path?
That's a really good question, because when I started doing the goddess chakra series, I suddenly became, out of nowhere, very interested in ancient goddesses. So I did actually do a little, you know, I was sort of delving into that. And but what I didn't know, interestingly enough, was I didn't know at that time that there was a whole movement, you know, a whole divine feminine movement that was going on in the early, you know, I guess the early 2000s, and I was a bit oblivious to that until I got to a certain point. I can't remember when it was, when I realized that I was actually working with an energy that a lot of other people also, in different ways, were working with, a lot of writers and other artists as well were working with. I think I was still, when I think about it, still pretty much one of the early ones. But I realized a little bit later on that I was part of a collective movement to bring forth this sacred feminine energy to our consciousness. And I was clearly, you know, I had decided as a soul, I guess, that I was going to do that through the visual, through the art. And so that kind of dawned on me sort of a little bit later. I didn't realize that at the beginning. So, you know, the calling was very much there for me to immerse myself in that, which I did, you know, I did at the beginning.
It's so beautiful. And I'm looking at your print, Grandmother Spider, and I saw a recent post on Facebook that you said, well, so many people, I know the original is sold, but you have the reproductions and prints, but you made a post the other day saying, wow, suddenly so many women are connecting with Grandmother Spider. So let's talk about the energy, for example, of that. Is there a message related to the divine feminine where you think that you can see a reason they would be drawn to a particular print at a particular time?
That's such a good question, because recently, she was my last of the series. She's the last one of that series. And she has been shared more times than I can even count. I've lost track. And I can, you know, Grandmother Spider is a Native American goddess archetype in mythology. And that kind of ancient wisdom and true connection to the earth and this planet that we live on and everything in it is sorely missed right now. And I think, you know, people look at that image and they see a lot of wisdom in the image. That's what it's representing. And they're also, you know, we're in this time now where there's a lot of change and a lot of endings and a lot of new beginnings. And Grandmother Spider is very much about weaving the web of life. That's what she's about. She's the creatrix, as it were. And everybody, I think, globally, is going through a period of reflection where they are, you know, looking to reweave their own web of their own lives, as, you know, nationally and globally, we are reweaving a new way forward. So it kind of resonates with so many people.
Well, it's such a beautiful print and it resonates with me. And I want to invite everyone, just so you can see what we're talking about, if you go to joejason.com, you'll see the nav bar that says the paintings, and then click Sacred Feminine and scroll down. You'll see all her other gorgeous ones, but I want you to be able to get to that image so you can see and feel why it's resonating with so many.
I should just say that the website, my name is spelled Fenny, so it's Joe Jason, but the Jason is with a Y, so it's JAYSON.
Thank you for clarifying that. And I'm going to give the whole URL why. Because Joe can be spelled different ways, so it's JOJAYSON.com, and I'll tell you, once you get there, you'll be like, oh my. So let's talk about what the sacred feminine means to you. What is it and what isn't it?
I've been asked that question so many times this week. and it's great to be asked, because it's great to put things to rest that aren't true. So the sacred feminine is an aspect of life. It's an aspect of the divine. It's an aspect of humanity. It's an aspect of nature that is the feminine aspect. And that feminine aspect is the umbrella that encompasses all of the aspects of it is basically love, unconditional love. But within that, or underneath that, I should say, is the aspects of compassion and forgiveness and empathy and faith and intuitive wisdom and the art of being and receiving and nurturing, and all of those kind of things are part of the are aspects of the sacred feminine. And you know, its counterpart, not its opposite, but its counterpart is the sacred masculine, which is all of the other stuff, like, the responsibility and strategic analytical thinking and the doing and the giving and, you know, different aspects that we need. We need a lovely balance of both as humans to be able to function as, you know, proper people. And, you know, the sacred feminine for women, I always say that we are extensions and expressions of that sacred feminine, but we have, you know, plenty of masculine within us, otherwise, you know, we really wouldn't get very much done of the day. So that's really what the sacred feminine is. There's really nothing mysterious about it. And, you know, it isn't, I think a lot of people, you know, would call it the goddess. And you know, for me, the goddess is a symbol of the feminine. You know, I think it gets used wrongly, incorrectly, but that's what it is for me. And that's what is the energy that I hope anyway, because it's a very strong energy that I hope I have been part of bringing forth in the past, you know, 15 years or so.
It's such a beautiful mission and so needed in the world. And
right.
And you know, my feeling is I remember, you know, I'm 58 and I can remember when I started my first business in the 90s, none of this language, just so you know, I wasn't as far along on the spiritual path back when I opened my first business. But I can see now, Joe, I was so caught up in what I thought was the energy of success, right? Pushing, striving, 14-hour days, five right. iced coffees a day. Mm-hmm. And then I got on the spiritual path and it wasn't an overnight thing, but I remember energetically wanting something different, wanting something softer and flowy, but I didn't know the language, I didn't have the tools. And then I got on the spiritual path and unfolded. And I remember finally tapping into your beautiful description of the divine feminine, right? I didn't have that mm-hmm. language then.
Right.
And then what happened is I loved it so much, I went too far that way, that I had no structure under me, which right. we need, which is the masculine. And this yes. is language I can use now, but at the time I'm like, what's happening? My business is stagnating. I just want to create and birth, but I didn't want to do the
right.
And then with new language about, I'd say 8-9 years ago, I feel like the arrow, went right back in the center. And I realized we need to be in balance. We can't be so in the masculine, because look what happened to the world, right?
Right.
That we forget the feminine, but we can't be all in the feminine either, as my own personal experience, because I couldn't ground anything in manifesting.
Exactly. Right.
And then I found this beautiful balance. So for me, it has to be the balance of both, not one over the other. We need both. We can't cut one off.
No, we absolutely do need, but both are so are wonderful. And, you know, we want to be, you know, healthy, functioning people. We need both to be balanced for sure. You know, as women, we have a feminine body. And like in many ways, that is the, you know, an extension and representation of the sacred feminine. But we have to function and we have to, you know, achieve things and we have to create things and we have to have boundaries and all sorts of stuff like that. So, yeah, it's really important to it's really important to be aware of and therefore to create balance in your life to support both, I think.
So true. We're going to take a quick commercial break. I'll be back in a moment with Joe Jason of joejason.com. Be sure to swing by her website to check out her sacred offerings, upcoming events, follow her on Facebook, and we'll be back in a moment.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Experience a homecoming to your heart. In the foreword of Dr. Deborah Riebel's new book, Being Love, How Loving Yourself Creates Ripples of Transformation in Your Relationships and the World, Marcy Shimoff shares, the answer to our inner longing isn't finding love,
It's Being Love. The practices that Dr. Deborah presents in Being Love are keys to opening your heart and receiving your divine birthright as a physical manifestation of love. Her techniques, developed over years of successful private practice with her clients and from her extensive training in multiple disciplines, are accessible, compassionate, and effective. Her message is powerful, and if you allow it, will change your whole life. Order your copy of Being Love today at beinglovebook.com and receive over 45 transformational gifts. Being Love is brought to you by Inspired Living Publishing.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is self-taught intuitive painter and award-winning author of Self-Love Through the Sacred Feminine, Joe Jason. So, Joe, what a beautiful conversation we're having. And as you and I know from everything going on in the world, that it's so important, I think, for all of us to come to at least a basic understanding of this sacred feminine energy and what it's doing right now in human consciousness. So what are you seeing? You've been doing this for a long time. What do you see rising up and shifting with everything we have going on right now?
Well, actually, the rising has already happened. So there was this movement called the Rise of the Divine Feminine. And that, I feel, for me, you know, I wrote my book. I finished it in December 2016. And a month later was the first Women's March in Washington and globally around the world. And I went to that, the one in Washington, and I felt hugely that that was the rising. That was the beginning of the rising. And then, you know, we've kind of all been experiencing, you know, national and global events since then. And now we are in this global pandemic, which is really a global shutdown. And I have always felt that this time, obviously one of huge healing, but is one where we are forced actually to sit in our feminine, where we are stopped from the constant doing and the constant striving and the constant achieving, and we are forced to just be. And just be with ourselves, or just be with our families, or just be with our spouse. And, you know, for many, that's been very uncomfortable. For some people have, you know, loved it. Some people, it's been a bit of a mixture, depending on where you're at. But I think this time, for the earth to heal also, remember the earth is a manifestation of the sacred feminine. That's why we call it Mother Earth. And so I feel this time is a huge sort of wave and infusion of sacred feminine energy. So it literally, we're forced to embody it. And I don't think we're over with the lesson yet. I think we've got a little bit of a while to go. And some of us have not learned the lesson and we'll have to learn it again. But, you know, I think this is part of this massive healing and rebalancing and bringing compassion back to the table, which it's been missing for so long, which is why we've had this very a chaotic and cruel world, really, overall. And, you know, people would call it the patriarchy, and I would call it, you know, a very unbalanced masculine. It's very hard to for the masculine to be in its highest form if it's not balanced hand in hand with its counterpart, the feminine. So if you're having a world that's with structures that are built purely on this, the masculine, then, you know, it's going to be, you know, lopsided. And that's what we've been experiencing for centuries. So in order to change that, in order to shift that, you have to have something quite as dramatic as this in order to do that. So I feel that's what's going on.
You know, it's so funny that you said it, because I've been at peace, my spirit, since March. I've become more, even though I have, you know, 5 media brands and I'm always out there, my heart, I'm an ambivert, so an introvert. But I can hold space for large events because I've learned to manage my energy. I've loved this downtime because it's how I love to navigate my life.
Right.
So my honey always says, well, the hermit in you is loving this, isn't it? And I'm like, oh, yes. But I have clients, right, who don't use the language you and I use. And they're like, Lynn, I've been pushing, striving, living by to-do lists and identifying myself in that way for so long. They've been feeling stripped raw.
Yes.
Because they've forgotten the truth of who they are, right? Mm-hmm. The reason I love this energy that I'm feeling the last few months is because it's taken me a lifetime to embody this and get here and know that this is how it's meant to be. This place of flow and peace. And of course, I'm still doing, but I'm not pushing, striving. You know what I mean, right?
Right. And I think, well,
this is what I told them. I said, this is your reset. This is to come back to the truth of who you are without all of that outside stuff. What do you say to a client who maybe has just found you and she doesn't maybe use the language you and I use, and she's struggling with this stopping?
Well, it's going to be uncomfortable for her because it's not something that she's, you know, obviously used to, but I think there is, you know, resistance in the just being. And so what I would always say to someone who's finding it uncomfortable or feeling, you know, irritated by it, would be to surrender to it. And surrendering to anything is really a practice. And but that's what's needed. There is a trust that's needed. To surrender, you have to have some trust. So what I would say to someone who's struggling with that is, you know, to work on a sense of trust that things are going to unfold in the perfect way, which they will. And, you know, and to work on that and to allow yourself to just be carried with the flow. Because when we're in a constant state of resistance and in a constant state of wanting to control things, we really do set ourselves up for not only, you know, quite a lot of disappointment, but also quite a lot of exhaustion. So I would say to someone like that what they need to work on is surrender and trust.
No, it's so true. And for me, the person I was back in the 90s with my first business, it was, I don't think I had the trust. So I think that is the key, you know, because right. I look back at how I navigated my life, and really everything that fed my decisions, which was the masculine, comes down to a core fear, which means I didn't have trust, right? And then as I healed that wound, now I live from that place of trust. As you know, I had to move a large event with over 60 vendors.
Right.
60 speakers. We were going to print on the agenda that in 4 days. And I just tapped in. That was in March, right when COVID was just starting to hit Massachusetts. And I could have waited it out and seen what was going to happen for our May event. But I could have pushed and wished and, you know, held on tightly, like, no, I'm going to still do it. But my soul, my heart, the deepest part of me said, trust and let go. And I announced that I was moving it to 2021. And it was such a peaceful feeling because I leaned in and trusted what I was receiving instead of trying to hold on and fight and struggle with what is.
Right, right, exactly. Well, it's a lesson for all of us to do that. Whenever we come up with something that we're resisting, you know, that's not to say that, you know, we shouldn't fight for what we desire, or that we shouldn't get angry over things that, you know, feel wrong. But striking a nice balance between allowing things to be and then moving from that place of a peace within you. When you're working constantly with an energy of aggravation and resistance, it's not going to get you very far. You're going to achieve a lot more when you allow things and allow people to be where they're at as well. So, you know, that those kind of things, that they are a practice. In fact, they are a spiritual practice. And the idea of trust as well, I think, comes from being able to be with yourself and to know yourself. And a lot of people don't and haven't given themselves that gift. So a lot of people hate being alone and will do whatever they can to avoid their own self. And, you know, those are the people that are going to find this time or have found this time the most difficult, for sure.
So true. I was one of those people decades ago where I think that's why I was so busy, because I couldn't be alone with myself. Mm. So that's why I cherished this time in my life, the last decade, of truly enjoying being alone with myself, because I wasn't capable of it before. So that really resonates. Right. And Joan, we're going to take our last commercial break before we go into our last segment. And everyone, I want to thank you for being here with me and my special guest, Joe Jason, talking about the sacred feminine, self-love. We'll be back in a moment with more in this inspiring conversation.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Do you feel overwhelmed and unsure about what steps to take to find peace, joy, and purpose in your life? Chris Groth is a spiritual mentor, energy healer, and best-selling author of the novel Soliloquy, a novel of healing, soul connection, and passion, and co-author of several best-selling books. Chris is passionate about helping women connect more deeply to their own truth, to promote healing and restore balance to the body, heart, mind, and soul, so they can live a soul-connected life. Chris serves clients around the world through spiritual mentoring sessions, energy healings, and powerful custom-guided sound healing meditations that bring in the energy of crystal singing bowls. If you're ready to heal your heart, nurture your soul, and illuminate your path, schedule a complimentary virtual session with Chris today at chrisgroth.com. That's Chris with a K and GROTH.com.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
This is OTR FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Hi, you're listening to Inspired Conversations. Thank you so much for being here. I'm Linda Joy, and with me today is Joe Jason. And I invite you to learn more at joejason, J-A-Y-S-O-N, www.joanneclark.com. So, Joe, how important is self-love in this whole journey of life, but also how it relates to the work you're doing in the world?
Well, from my perspective, it is the most important thing, because without it, you can't reach your full potential. It's impossible to. You know, the whole point of life, the whole point of us being here, yes, we are here to heal certain things and to learn certain lessons and to feel and experience different things. But one of the true things that is common amongst humanity is the remembering of who they really are and where they really come from. And where, you know, my book is very much about that. It's very much about remembering who you are and using that remembrance to help you heal aspects of yourself and make decisions based on that you are much more than you think than we think we are. So I don't know a soul, not one soul, that is living a life on this planet that does not need to re-remember who they really are. And it's in the re-remembering, and it's a process to do that, that you learn to love yourself back. And when you're able to do that, you are then fully capable of being love for another, you know, whether it be your neighbor or your parent or your child or your spouse or your friends, whoever it is. You know, our own lives, our own sort of little world that we live in, our own little realities, are so blessed in ways that you can't even imagine if just one of us is walking the path of self-love, because the ripples of that are huge, beyond what we can imagine, how that touches people in ways. You know, people that you don't even know or you haven't even met, just somehow your own love for yourself, your own honoring of yourself, your own respect for yourself, and the choices and the decisions of the way that you live your life and treat other people from that place, are the results of that, the ripples of that are enormous. So if every person was able to do that, imagine the world and how healed it would be. So for me, it is the number one thing in life. If you're given this life and you're living it, it is a huge thing to come back to yourself and to relearn how to honor yourself.
So beautiful. And you know, as you were speaking, it's like I was envisioning, like I usually see in visuals, and as you're talking about for each of us to come back home to ourselves, and I'm thinking, wow, if we as individuals did the inner work to really embrace the truth of who we are and embrace self-love, it's this ripple. I could see this ripple just pouring out from everyone's heart centers, which is teaching the next person and the next, and collectively imagine what the world could be like if we're all vibrating from that sacred center.
Right. And how much more you can be there for another. Somebody asked me the other day about the difference between being selfless and selfish and you know, self-love and how that all fits together. And I was explaining, you know, if your well is not full, if you're not filling your own well, and your well is not full, you literally are offering people, you know, half empty gifts, because you're not in your fullest. And surely, particularly for those that we love and we care about, we want to be in our fullest for them. And so, there's no disadvantage of it at all. You know, it is loaded with blessings.
It truly is. And that's one thing I think, especially as women, we've all had to learn to release the guilt of putting ourselves on our own to-do list, right?
Yes.
I like to call it a to-be list. I have a to-be list that I work on every morning before I ever enter the masculine, the to-do list, right?
Right.
And it took me a long time, decades actually, to feel at peace with putting myself up to the top of that damn list, right? Because it was always, well, you'll at workout or you'll make a green drink or you'll do this after you do blah, blah, blah for everyone else.
Right.
And it's exactly what you said. We can't really nurture our family, our communities, our business if we aren't at our best. And now I'm at the top of that list. You know, of course, if a loved one needs me, I'm talking about more of an energetic decision, right?
Right, for sure.
It's made the world of difference in my own life, but also in my sense of inner peace too.
Right, and it just makes you, when you're in that place, yes, it is energetic, but when you're in that place, you are, you're so much nicer to be around than if you
are. Yes.
Right. So it's, like I said, it is full of, full of blessings to walk that path and to spend that time and work on yourself in a way where you can fill your own well, which isn't just about self-care. It's about, honoring stuff that has happened to you and allowing stuff that has happened to you and embracing all parts of yourself and aspects of yourself. You know, it isn't, there's a lot to self-love. It isn't just about saying, oh, well, I'm great and I'm going to take a bubble bath. It is, right? It's so much more than that. And So yes, it's a journey and I'm sure there are many different paths to it. I only know mine.
So. I think for all of us too, it's a continuing journey because it's easy to fall off the wagon.
For sure.
Because we're getting pulled in so many directions. Well, Joe, in the last few moments that we have, I want to invite you to take an opportunity to share what's coming up for you, any projects, any virtual events that you want to talk about or share?
Sure. So I'm working on, painting-wise, I'm working on a Sacred Bird series, and I'm also in the middle of my Zodiac series, which when that's done will hopefully be included with all the other images to form a bigger oracle deck. But I'm a slow painter, so it'll take some time. I am continually doing online teleclasses. They're ongoing. And I'm also offering very soon, probably in the next couple of weeks, one-on-one sessions to work through the 13 lessons of my book. That's a new thing that I'm going to be doing with working just one-on-one with people. I've usually taught my book to groups of people, and now I'm offering it one-on-one. I have a retreat that's supposed to be happening in Massachusetts in the fall, although I'm not sure if that will happen or not, and all the sort of big events are now pushed back to 2021, but all of that is happening. My Etsy shop is open all year, and I think that's enough right for now.
Well, I want to invite everyone, first off, go to joejason.com, joejason.com. Make sure you follow her on Facebook to find out about all the virtual stuff. Follow her on Etsy. Go check out her work. I will speak to your heart as it does to mine. And, though a lot of the originals may be gone, there's reproductions. Take advantage. It's beautiful, soulful work. So, Joe, I want to thank you for being here today and for leading the way and doing the work you're doing with the the sacred feminine.
Thank you. And thank you for having me and giving me the opportunity to talk about this work. And, you know, hopefully more ripples will come from that.
Oh, they will. And I can't wait to meet you in person next April, my friend.
I know it feels like we already have, but we really haven't.
No, I know. It's funny. I was thinking that earlier, that it does feel like we've known each other
for a long time. Yeah.
And that's why I'm even more excited to meet you next year.
Yes, me too. Me too.
So thank you, my friend. And I want to invite everyone again, visit joejason.com. And if you want to learn more about the 3-day Inspired Life Transformational Women's event being held April 23rd through 25th in 2021, you can get on the wait list at inspiredlifeevent.com. Blessings, everyone. Until next time, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness, my friends. Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.